Hey, 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 welcome back to the Orbital Tribe. This is Mignon, the host and creator of this podcast, and I'm so happy you're with me today. Y'all, this is episode 4. We are moving right along, and I'm so glad you are here and, hanging out. I want you to like and subscribe so you can be notified when there are new episodes or just any new content. And rate us where you can rate the podcast. Follow us on social platforms. It's Mignon_FOF on Instagram. And then it's at the Orbital Tribe on Instagram as well. So, y'all, I want to talk about something that I really love. It's something that has changed my life. And I know you're like, Jesus? I'm like, yes. But an aspect of Christ, which is self-love. So you know how the Bible says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And then the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. I have come to realize that loving your neighbor as yourself is not only a commandment, it's a law. Meaning, if I only love myself to the degree of 8, at most, I'll only be able to love my neighbor to the degree of an 8, right? And so many of us, we live in this codependent society, right? Where, especially for women, the pinnacle of fulfillment and success is to be married, right? And it's a lie. I'm sorry, but it's a lie. It's a lie. And I feel like we as Christians, we have marriage on a pedestal. And I really think that it's problematic because, and the reason why I'm so gung-ho about it is because I have to admit, I was also that person. Because for me, you know, I had these unmet core needs, right? The need to be seen, heard, wanted, desired, loved, understood, feel like I belong, right? Those are core needs. Validation, like you could call all of those validation or make validation its own. But those are core needs that every human has. And that's why we're codependent. We're actually wired for codependency. The problem is, and one of the greatest deceptions of the enemy is to get us to focus that codependency in the wrong place. And putting it on each other is one of the biggest mistakes we could ever make. The only being stable enough and worthy of our codependency is God, because he's unchanging. He is not a man, so he doesn't change his mind and he doesn't repent. He's the only person to promise and deliver on the promise to never fail you. You might have expected God to do a thing, but because he is a good father and because he knows the end from the beginning and because he exists in all places, and that includes the past, the present, and the future, he knows that the thing you're asking for right now will not be good for your future. And so because he's a good father, he's not going to give you the keys to something that you cannot handle and that might even be the path to your destruction. So that being said, he might have disappointed you at times because he didn't give you the thing you asked for, but has he ever failed you? And, you know, it could be something like you lost a loved one, even though you prayed really hard for them to still be alive. That type of stuff, I can't answer. But I will say this, if that person loved the Lord like you do, they're in a better place. I know you miss them, but now, just like in the parable that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus, Abraham said to the rich man, he said, in life, you got your good things, but now Lazarus will receive his good things. Your loved one is resting in Abraham's bosom. I know that it's hard to be without them, but they're in a better place. They're in the place that you're trying to get to. Y'all, earth is trash. What I love about the work that God has done in me, I am not really attached to this earthly plane. It is trash down here. Like, have y'all seen the meme where they said, do aliens like drive fast past Earth and roll up their windows because it's so it's so ghetto? Like, it's trash here, and I don't like it. And so God has never failed us, and he never will fail us. And so that relationship you're looking for is a lie. Oh gosh, I hope people understand where I'm coming from on this. I'm not saying relationships are a lie. I'm not saying love is a lie. I'm not saying marriage is a lie. But the idol we made of it is. And of course, like everything else the enemy does, he twists the good things that God gives us and just creates a mess. And that's why everyone's saying the dating pool not only has pee in it, now it's just straight up sewer. The dating pool is a straight up sewer system at this point, because we as humans, we've made a mess of God's good thing. And I think it starts with what Jesus said with seek ye first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Yes, even the good things that are of God. The problem is a lot of us, especially who are Christians, we seek the things of God first and then the kingdom. See, we think we've sought the kingdom first when we got baptized. We think we're seeking the kingdom first when we read our Bible and when we pray and when we fast corporately or individually, which all those things are great. Jesus did every one of those things. But what was his purpose? Was his purpose to heal on the Sabbath? Or was his purpose to die on the Sabbath, right? Was his purpose to, I can't remember if he died on the Sabbath, y'all. I know some Bible nerd somewhere is going to be like, actually, Friday was the beginning of the Sabbath. That's right. Friday is the preparation for the Sabbath. And so his purpose was to die, right? And to fulfill the law and to be the ultimate sacrifice and to be the bridge from our fallen state back to our glorified state, which is unified with Christ and, you know, the right to now go back to heaven and reign with Christ. So he is our propitiation. He is the answer. He is the cheat code. But all the things that he did leading up to it, right? He fasted 40 days in the wilderness. Of course, he read the Torah and he studied and he healed and he served. But those things buttressed his purpose. What is the thing that God has sent you here to do? Like I was talking about in my last episode, there's a thing that God assigned you before you came down here to do. That reading your Bible and helping people and fasting is only going to help you fulfill that call. But that is not the call in and of itself. And so a lot of us are walking around unfulfilled with these holes in us because we have no idea what our cross is, right? Jesus had his cross. We all have a cross, right? Take up your cross daily. What is it? Do you know what it is? And so now we're trying to fill the void of not having that intimacy with God that awaits the instruction to fulfill our calling, and that we have this void because we have this lack of fulfillment because we aren't walking it out. And we're trying to fill it with, you know, people and accomplishments and money and stuff, you know, food and TV, because I mean, TV was a part of my calling, but again, it can be, anything can be warped by the enemy. But TV also became an escape from, you know, just really big feelings I would have as a kid. And so we use these things to fill us. And I specifically want to kind of hone in on the relationships. And I think the reason why I need to, because I feel like God is doing something with relationships and marriage right now, because there are so many single Christian women and there are so single Christian people, but especially women. And I feel like the men of God are just kind of not super interested. And when they are, they rather go get a Philistine. I'm sorry, but I mean it. Like they rather go like get a Philistine woman instead of a woman of God, right? Because men have been programmed a certain way. And then women of God do that too. We want to go get us a Philistine. And, you know, it's sad. But I feel like the one of the breakdowns in relationships is, like I said, we're seeking the things of God and not God. And what that kind of looks like in relationship is, how is this person going to meet my needs, right? We're so self-focused. And it's partly because we don't have a purpose and we don't know why we're here. And so we get so consumed by our own wants, needs, and desires, and we look for other people to fulfill them. And that's why, you know, they say 1 in 6 people are narcissists. And the thing is, we all have narcissistic tendencies. They're actually very necessary when we're infants, because an infant can't even hold its own head up. So an infant has to be consumed with its needs, because otherwise human infants are pretty useless. They can't keep themselves alive. A horse comes out walking. You know what I'm saying? Baby sea turtles, they come out that shell and they sprint for the ocean. You know what I'm saying? Like, but a human infant, like, we're, you know, so narcissism is kind of necessary for us when we're kids, but narcissists, they never grow out of it. And that narcissism becomes more ruthless, right? So if I have to manipulate, if I have to lie, if I have to cheat, if I have to kill, that's really extreme. Some people, it's just mostly lying and manipulating. And so we get into relationships looking for people to meet all of our needs when marriage is just a thing. You know, we treat it like we're waiting on a transplant list for a vital organ, right? It's going to be the thing to sustain me and keep me alive and make life worth living, when it's really just a toolbox. I mean, Jesus did a whole ministry without marriage. Most of the apostles weren't married, like Peter and maybe one other one. I can't remember the other one's name. But, and it's, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And I think that it's a tool. But I think the reason why, it seems to me like God has kind of put a pause on them, because it's like, it's kind of like, reminds me of COVID, how he put a pause on just like life. And he was like, everybody sit down and think about what you're doing. I feel like the same thing is happening with marriage. He's like, y'all are just ruining it. You're messing it up. And I feel like all that to say is because we don't know how to meet our own needs. We're looking for someone else to do it. I kind of liken it to being in a cafeteria, and there's a salad station, there's a Chinese food station, hamburger and fries, sloppy Joe, sub station, wings and fries, and we're gonna get to the wings and fries people. And there's all these tables, and you're sitting at a table with a plate in front of you, but it's empty, and you're hungry, and you're looking for someone to bring you something to eat. To me, that is the visual image of not loving yourself the way you desire to be loved. Asking someone to love you in the ways that you won't even love yourself or show up for yourself is the equivalent of asking someone to lift the fork to your mouth because you won't do it. That's number one. Number two, you're sitting there with the empty plate, and the sloppy Joe dude walks by and he's like, hey girl, you want some of this sloppy Joe? Or she's like, hey boy, I got this sloppy Joe. And you're like, man, I don't even like sloppy Joe like that. But because you've been sitting there hungry with an empty plate, you know what you do? You eat it. You take it. You go out on a date with sloppy Joe. Because you know what else? Let me tell you what else we do as girls. We will mess with sloppy Joe knowing that's not even like our type. We know he's not even like that. But you know what we say to ourselves? Man, sloppy Joe dude is going to be so appreciative that I'm giving him time. He's going to be a good dude. But no, that's not what happens. We all know. It's one thing to be played, but to be played by a sloppy Joe Negro. Girl, if that ain't the wake-up call you need, then I don't know what is. But anyway, we eat in sloppy Joe. We don't even like it. Why? Because we're hungry. And it's like Jesus said to the woman at the well. Y'all remember the woman at the well? She had been married 5 times. And in a culture where people ain't trying to remarry, you know, women who've been, you know, around like that. So she was obviously beautiful. But they say that she probably had a hard time conceiving. That's probably why she got married that many times. But you remember what Jesus said to her? He said, you know, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of me, living water, you'll never thirst again. And back to the two greatest commandments. Greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if I drink from living water, and Jesus is the living water, I'll never thirst again. And then I'll also learn how to love myself because I never thirst again. So now I'm sitting in the cafeteria of life with food on my plate. So when Sloppy Joe dude walks by, he's like, first of all, he might not even approach you, because if he looks at your plate and he sees that it's a nice big green salad with all kinds of ingredients, he's gonna be like, oh, I don't even know how to talk to her. And if he is bold enough to say something, you can be like, you know what? I appreciate your boldness, but I'm good. First of all, fall in love with God. I promise you, you will learn how to love yourself. Y'all, in life, I've received quite a few, you know, bouquets of flowers, and they were all really, really beautiful. But can I tell you that my favorite bouquet of flowers, the best bouquet, was the one I gave myself and I arranged for myself. You know why? Because I handpicked each type of flower, and it was arranged by me for me. Y'all, and I did it, you know, for my birthday. And now I think I'm one of those ladies who, like, you know, gets an arrangement of flowers every couple of weeks, like fresh flowers in her house. And y'all, I love that bouquet so much that I would literally just stand there and look at it. I'd never done that with flowers that other people had given me before. They were all beautiful and I liked them. It was nice. But I had never done that for myself. And y'all, when I tell you, I would just stand and look at that bouquet, and it was, and that's when God kind of gave me this podcast topic. It was, baby, this is a metaphor for self-love. How will someone know how to give you flowers if they've never seen you give them to yourself? How is someone going to know how to take care of you if they don't get to observe how you take care of yourself? Right? And so, you know, you get rid of Sloppy Joe dude, and, you know, maybe now you haven't gotten to the place where you're making your own meal, but you didn't eat enough Sloppy Joe dude, but here come wings and fries, right? Everybody likes wings and fries, okay? I didn't dealt with some wings and fries Negroes. And I'm telling y'all, you got to tell them no. You got to tell them no. You cannot eat wings and fries on a regular basis and your health not suffer. Do you understand me? But thank God I had my salad, because when wings and fries came along and it was hot lemon pepper and the fries looked like they was crispy, and y'all, I was shaking in my boots. But I stabbed my salad real, and I just, like, no, I'm good. Like, I was able to resist wings and fries because I had my salad. But nobody can resist wings and fries if you are not feeding yourself. And y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all know the kind of woman or the kind of man I'm talking about that everybody likes. Ain't nobody going to be able to turn down this man or this woman, because they are wings and fries. But I'm telling you, you got to tell them no. You know why? Because nobody's telling them no. And you know what that means for you and your body. Now, I ain't trying to get, you know, too graphic here. But you know, if everybody's eating off of that, then baby, okay? You got to tell them no. All right? And the only way is if you're not hungry like the woman at the well. That woman was married 5 times. So if you fall in love with God, you'll know how to love yourself. You'll feed yourself. So when that type of temptation comes along that you know ain't good for you, you know they ain't changed that grease in weeks. You know that's old chicken grease. But you're still not going to be able to say no, because it's wings. Because you know what you say? Because this is what my mama would say. She said, the grease will kill it. But they get to the point where the grease is the problem. Okay? You can't listen. So, you know, maybe you starting to figure the self-love thing out, and maybe you're making your salad, and maybe that looks like, you know, you're going to therapy, you're doing the journaling, you finally are going to take that trip, you bought the dress, or you returned the dress, okay? Maybe you're in debt and you need to stop buying dresses. Maybe you deleted her phone number, right? She's not a good friend and she hurts your feelings. So it's like delete, you know, I don't know. But, you know, it's not as elaborate as you want it to be. And you meet someone who's offering salad. Maybe it's someone who's a Caesar salad. But Caesar salad is just croutons, Parmesan, and dressing. Now, some people, that's all they want. They don't need, maybe add some grilled chicken, and now it's a grilled chicken Caesar salad. And that's, they don't want, y'all should, my salads are absurd. A person who's a grilled Caesar salad chicken person, they don't want everything I got going on, right? That's too much. They can't afford that. But maybe you're at that stage, you know, you just started, you're on the journey of self-love, you're figuring it out what it means, because that's the thing. I can't tell you what it means for you. I mean, it's called self-love. I can't give you a prescription. I can, at best, I can give you metaphors. At best, I can tell you my experience, but it's literally a journey you have to be willing to go on for yourself. And, you know, you meet someone who's offering you Caesar, but maybe you're like me, you want something more elaborate, but you just started the journey. So you're like, oh my gosh, this is the closest thing to what I've wanted has ever come. And some of us end up marrying that person. That's the tricky one. See, Sloppy Joe isn't the tricky one. Wings and fries ain't the tricky one. It's the thing that's closest to what you want, but because you didn't keep going, you were afraid of missing out. It's not quite right, and it's a couple of weeks before the wedding, and you know something's off. And I'm not talking about cold feet, because no one is going to be 100, right? But I'm talking about like that thing where you know. You know, it's like, this ain't 100% it. But that person is like, hey, you know, I'm the best thing you had. And to their credit, they're right. And my thing is, don't try to change anybody. Let a person see what you're offering yourself and decide if they can rise to the occasion. But how can a person know how to love you if they can't look at the plate you feed yourself? So if Caesar salad dude or Caesar salad girl come along, they're gonna be like, excuse me, I am nutritious. You could have this every day and not have any problems, right? But maybe you want, you know, carrots, cucumber, red onion, beets, chickpeas, you know, boiled eggs. Like, you want to go and sweet green or chopped and lose your mind like I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's about setting an example, and it's about being whole and full on your own, so that when someone walks by your table and they see what you're feeding yourself, they can say, you know what? I like their style. You know what, I'm gonna go to the salad bar and get, and they kind of level themselves up. And then one day they say, you know what, I've been looking at how you, you know, bring your lunch, and I admire that. And I want to get to know you more. Why? Because they see the standard you've set for yourself, and now they know, hey, at a minimum, this is how I'm gonna have to show up. And so loving yourself is honestly the key to getting what you want. Because people can look at you and say, nah, that's too much for me. And they can say it critically. They could say it just from a self-aware angle, whatever, who cares? But at least they ain't gonna bother you, okay? And if they do, you're full. You don't have to eat Sloppy Joe because you're hungry. Sidebar, anybody remember Sloppy Joe days at school? I hated that day. I couldn't stand that day. No offense to the people who like a Sloppy Joe, but Maka, I hated it. I couldn't stand watching other people eat it. So that's why I'm using that example. Ugh, it's the worst. It was the worst. When I was in high school, it was the hot chicken sandwich day. That was the day that everybody turned up. It was usually Friday. Somebody got into a fight typically on Friday with hot chicken sandwich day. Anyway, spicy chicken sandwich day. That was usually meant there was going to be a fight. So anyway, it's so important to love yourself because that's how you find your tribe. And more importantly, that's how your tribe finds you. I don't think Sloppy Joe about to sit at the table with, you know, Impossible Burger person. Like, I, you know, they're similar, but I just, unless it's an Impossible Sloppy Joe, like, but I don't think they're going, I don't think Wings and Fries is about to sit with the salad people. It's like, we're not even made of the same stuff. So people need to see how you show up for you so they can decide whether or not that's in their willpower. And then also, it's important to do that because if you're sitting there with an empty plate, and let's say, like, you know, you do start, you know, carrying on with Sloppy Joe, and you get tired of it, you know, a year in or whatever, or maybe 6 months in, I don't know. You might be like me, a month in, I was done. And, or a couple weeks in, I get done fast. And you just say, you know, I can't. That person will kind of be like, now, wait a minute, you were sitting here with nothing. And I think the mistake a lot of people do, like, one thing I'll say is I didn't try to change nobody. But what a lot of us will do, because we're hungry and we don't want Sloppy Joe anymore, but we also don't want to go back to being hungry, we try to change Sloppy Joe into, like, lasagna. And you're like, come on, all you got to do is come off the bun and, you know, trade it for some noodles. Like, just, and we try to change our people. And it's like, I'm going to be honest with you, you're wrong. It's not always about right and wrong. It often isn't about right and wrong. But that person showed you who they are. And in fairness to them, something is better than nothing. And if you're sitting there with an empty plate and someone comes along and offers you something, even if it is something you don't want, it is better. Just from a mathematical standpoint, especially if you're hungry. Now, if you're choosing to be hungry, that's one thing, which I don't, you know, why wouldn't you feed yourself? And I'm not talking about the literal act of fasting. I'm just talking about the metaphorical sense of filling your own cup, right? If no one's filling your cup, including you, and someone's offering to fill your cup, even if it is with something that's never what I imagined for myself, that person's kind of right. It is better. And so for you to ask them to become wine when they're ginger ale, that's actually unfair of you. So feed yourself, love yourself, set the standard for yourself, show the world how to love you so that your people can find you and you can find your people. And you can stop entering relationships looking for other people to meet your needs, and you'll attract someone who is of the like mind, and you all will understand what an actual healthy marriage is. Being a healthy spouse means signing up to serve that person until the day they die. That's why it says in sickness and in health, till death do us part. It's most of us, we're thinking about the image that we saw for ourselves. You know, I want the family unit, right? I want the wife, or I want the husband and the kids and the house. And we're thinking about having all of these needs met, and there are ego needs that aren't necessarily bad. But if we aren't meeting them ourselves, when our spouses inevitably, right, fail us, that's when the problems start in. That's when that, you know, typically about 10 years is when a relationship falls apart. It doesn't matter when you get married, but say you started dating in 2010, it's around 2020 that things are going to start to really fall apart. So Anyway, read Meg J's book. I mean, you can just find the statistics on the 10-year mark. So, and ladies, just for a second, quickly, just think about this. God said that David was a man after his own heart, right? Okay. Just think about this. Y'all remember that part of David's life where he saw Bathsheba bathing on the roof and then he slept with her and then he got her pregnant and then he called her husband back from the war to try to get him to sleep with her. He didn't. And then David gets him drunk. He still don't sleep with her. He don't even go home and get in the same bed with her. So he couldn't cover up the fact that he got her pregnant. So then he tells the commander of the army to put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle and then like retreat from him. And he essentially he gets this man killed. Y'all remember that? That was just one moment in David's life. And God says that him, that guy who committed adultery, tried to cover it up, and then when he couldn't, he got the person killed. That dude is a man after God's own heart. So if he is the best of men, a man that did all of that is the best of men, how logical is it for us to put all of this hope and faith in the institution of marriage and not God? Our spouses will inevitably let us down. But if you have set a standard for yourself and you fill yourself, when your spouse comes up short, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to keep a record of wrong, right? Doesn't the Bible say that love does not keep a record of wrong? Well, those of us who aren't loving ourselves, we keep records of wrong. And they will also. And then that resentment builds up. And now y'all have contempt. And they say that the number one predictor of divorce is contempt. Not money issues, not communication issues, but contempt. And so when your spouse fails, you can say, there's something going on. You can say, they're having a hard time right now. I'm gonna let them cool off and I'll come back and talk to her in a bit. I'll come back and talk to him in a bit. You know, you can let it go. It's not the end of the world. It's not the one person who was supposed to make me feel like a woman has broke me. Like, you know what I mean? It's not this earth-shattering thing. Why? Because you're full. Your cup is full. Your plate is full. And they're just a person. They're a person that you've chosen to partner with and to do life with and to further the kingdom of God with and to make the world a better place because you two got married. That's what marriage is. I mean, no, I'm not married, so you don't have to listen to me, but I don't think this is from me. I think that this is the process that God took me through to A, free me from,
God, you know, I just really want somebody.
Like, you know, like just that girl. Like, obviously not up front, but like in my own private time. And like just pulled me back from that type of like loneliness. I feel like loneliness is a part of the human emotion, you know, spectrum. So we're all going to experience it, but it's a different type now. Now it's more like, oh man, wish there was someone to go with me to this. Whereas before it was like, there was a meaning I made of not having someone to go with. There was a meaning, like there was just all this like stuff underneath it. Whereas now it's so fleeting. It's the same thing as being hungry. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it'll go away in a little bit. Like emotions are, you know, they're not here to stay and they're not facts. They're warning signals, but they're not facts. They can point us to deeper truths. And I think that this is something that God revealed to me. And hopefully other people who have an ear will hear it and understand it. But y'all, I have never been happier. I've never felt more free. And I think I want everyone to live in that freedom, especially as women, because we live under a very specific oppression. You know, the enemy, you know, I mean, God pretty much told us in Genesis, is like, there's going to be a war between womankind and the enemy, right? Our seed is going to crush his head, but, you know, his, you know, head was going to bruise the heel. So, and in Revelation, it is a woman that the dragon is chasing into the wilderness. Why? I don't know. I'm sure God will reveal that to me later, but, or someone will, but there is freedom. Your joy does not have to be held hostage by someone else giving you the flowers. Baby, I promise you, if you create that bouquet for yourself, you are going to stand there. You ain't going to be thinking, man, I wish someone else gave this to me. You're going to be looking at it and you're going to be so proud of it and so happy with it. But it is a journey. Like, I've been in this process for a while. So, yeah, love yourself and love God. And then, man, you're going to know how to love your neighbor. And if more and more people do that, look how we're changing the world one person at a time just by knowing how to love ourselves. So, that is episode 4 of the Orbital Tribe. I love you all so much. Thank you for being here with me. Please like, please subscribe, please rate. You got prayer requests? Yes, we gonna do this like church. You got prayer requests? I'm happy to pray over comments, pray over people. Keep me in prayer. And yeah, God bless you. I love you. Until next time.